real high on tryptophan.
Hot topic.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Yeah. Hot stuff.
Luke Johnson is hot stuff.
What's up?
It's the Fansmanship.com podcast.
I'm all tripped to fade out.
4 days later, yes. Luke's still feeling the effects.
I am.
As are we all. What's up, Andy?
How you doing?
What's up, dude?
I'd say strong to quite strong.
Just like your portfolio.
Yeah, that's right. What's up, man?
I tried to get into some healthcare stuff. what's up, everybody?
That's a touchy subject. You might want to stay away from that. Third rail, my man.
Yeah, stay away from that. That is third rail. That was me last week. That's Owen this week. Third rail.
Wow.
Yes.
There you go. So welcome to our podcast. Today's a shortened edition, probably,
yes,
of the podcast. Although you never know. We might go for an hour.
You never know.
You never know with us, along with Andy and Luke. I'm Owen. And guys, there's big news. Big, big news. I know there was a lot of fun with football.
It's the hottest of topics, really.
It is the hottest of topics.
Hot topic.
You know, Luke.
This is the Cindy Crawford in the string bikini topic here.
We all saw Ndamukong Suh step on somebody, but that's neither here nor there. Maybe we'll talk about it later.
That was foreseeable, though. I mean, you could see that. You could see that happening. Predictable.
It's Samaki Walker eating somebody.
How is Samaki Walker ever a viable option?
I don't know. I've been thinking about Samaki Walker lately.
How is he ever?
What's going on with him?
How is he ever a player that
you know what? This is what's sick about
he overachieved for his salary. Let's just say
this is the problem when the NBA has a lockout. It's I remember Samaki Walker.
God help us!
I never would have thought of Samaki until the lockout.
So the big news is about the NBA.
Yes,
it's the lockout is almost officially off.
Tentatively,
handshake agreement.
Yes,
Looks like there's going to
be
a
ratified.
Season.
They're not going to agree on something if it's not going to happen. I mean, they know that it's going down. So I'm for one excited. I mean, we got a triple header coming up on Christmas Day that's going to start the season. I know one of the games was Bulls at Lakers. We also had, I think, Celtics at Miami, although these are
big market games.
Yeah, big market games to start the season. So, but what about the whole concept of how many fans do you think that the NBA has lost because of this? Do you think they'll all be back, most of them, half of them?
Listen, the NBA wasn't the top sport to start with. It was third fiddle, basically, behind football and even baseball, where you have 162 games. We saw baseball get a labor deal done quietly while the NBA deal was being...
Well, baseball set the example.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's complete 360 from what it used to be. That being said, I think in places like L.A., fans will come. Jerry Buss doesn't have to worry. He's going to have fans there every day. The viewership may go down overall in the country, but I don't think... I don't know.
The big markets aren't going to suffer.
Big markets aren't going to suffer, but places like Portland, where this kind of stuff matters, places like Charlotte, places like maybe even you look at Indiana and some other places.
Or how about
could suffer
Oklahoma City? I mean, where you have a small city in essence compared to how big that team has become. You know, it's all over Google, guys. Check it out. Baseball has been number two, NFL has been number one, and the NBA has been number three for quite some time.
Right.
How far can a sport survive two, somewhat serious lockouts in the last 11 years?
But it's not going to become hockey, right? I don't think we'll ever see that day.
No, I don't think so.
Where it becomes hockey.
I think you have enough kids who love Kobe Bryant, love Dwight Howard, love LeBron James, love Dwayne
now,
Wade.
Now, to that point, do you think there are enough hardcore fans in a market like Oklahoma City that are just huge Durant fans and you're not going to lose too much?
I think that'll be interesting.
I think the one thing that Oklahoma City has going for them is that there isn't much going on besides that.
Right, yep.
You have people who love the Thunder because there's nothing else to root for. So here, all of a sudden, they have their team back. It's a 66-game schedule,
it's so hot right now.
Wow. Is that a new one? Is that a new drop, though?
We've had that drop. We just haven't
used it.
It's
so hot right now. I like that
one. It is so hot right now.
That makes me
feel hot. Will Ferrell style.
It is a hot topic. It is a hot
I like that. Wow.
Discussion.
It kind of got us off.
Oklahoma City is the hot team. I'm really interested to see how well they either do or don't you know, take advantage of it, of the lockout? Here's a question. Who is it going to help? Who's Russell it going Westbrook. To hurt as far as teams go? A 66-game season compacted, you're going to have 4 or 5 games a week sometimes.
It's going to help the veteran teams that aren't going to be worn down
even
as
with
much
4 or 5 games a week, season. Though.
Yeah, and
that's the question.
There is a good point to that, yes.
And the one good thing about the lockout is this. I mean, in the end, it's going to tell us who are the players who take this career serious. I mean, we have, speaking about the Thunder, we have Russell Westbrook, who is a tremendous talent but needs to improve as far as a point guard is concerned. He needs to share the basketball. We all know that.
Well, what do you think about Oklahoma City this year in the sense that last year they were kind of the young
they're the trendy pick.
Yeah, trendy overachievers. Now, this year there's probably going to be a little bit more onus on them to make good and to finally come through.
I think when a lockout is – when a lockout happens, you have young players who are used to being forced to train for their sport. The question is whether or not Russell Westbrook, James Harden, these youngsters have worked hard even during the lockout. Kevin Durant, no question. The guy is, in my opinion, a consummate professional. He's a guy who is a top-tier athlete. He has been training.
He's top five, definitely.
James Harden, Russell Westbrook, these guys who are considered top, right. You know, in that, as far as that organization is concerned, top-tier athletes, we will see.
You know, Luke, it'll be interesting to see who the Sean Kemps or the of this lockout will be. You know, Sean Kemp probably had 2 or 3 more good years. Once the lockout happened, he gained, what, like probably like 30 or 40 pounds?
Sean Kemp,
and his career was essentially over, and I think there are going to be some Sean Kemps. I think guys like – you know, guys like Zach Randolph. I don't know. Maybe Zach's kept himself in great shape, but I could see guys, Eddie Curry, who kind of are fringe, borderline right now. Big guys, even some guards who.
Well, Eddie Curry. A guy like that seemed to be destined for failure anyway. He wasn't.
Sure, and so was Sean Kemp. But the idea is that how many of these guys got there? How many of these guys?
How old was Sean Kemp when this happened? You know, the prime of his career was over.
To be fair to Kemp, that man was a 7-time All-Star. He was somebody who had led the Sonics with Gary Payton to a 1996 Finals where they lost to MJ's Bulls, which everyone did in that time.
Sure.
Kemp is a guy who was a consummate, you know, All-Star. I mean, this is a guy who was competing at a 2010 level. One of the top-tier power forwards. But he was a guy who lost his way during that first lockout. The question is whether or not when it comes to the Thunder.
Look, he didn't lose his way. He got fat.
He lost his way in the sense that he was always – he always had a coach or somebody to tell him, hey,
Sean,
you have to be at this practice. You have to work hard at this level.
Right.
There are going to be athletes that we're going to be very saddened about, maybe a Russell Westbrook or a James Harden, considering the Thunder, who we thought were these guys who – we're such an extreme part of
self-driven,
that
right? Self-driven versus is this something that somebody has to make you? And we know guys like, you know, as much as you've bagged on Kobe in the past, a guy like Kobe's going to come back in shape.
Oh, Kobe's going to come back top tier.
Yeah, and so will all of the guys who are like LeBron Dwayne Wade, and Chris Paul,
Dwight Howard and all that will come back.
You know, Derrick Rose, all those guys are going to come back and be awesome.
Joakim Noah, even, who's a guy who's not even a top-tier star.
So what was your point when we were talking about the Thunder, then you made this point? Were you thinking maybe Kendrick Perkins might be potential for that?
I'm not saying any specific person. I'm saying in general, for the league, I will watch some specific games first week of the season, and I will say to myself, oh, that guy's a casualty of the lockout. You'll know right away.
Yeah.
Because there's not that much training camp. And so if guys have been keeping themselves in shape, good for them. I think some of the old players will either go one way or the other. So guys like Derek Fisher, Andy, we're both Laker fans. Guys like Derek Fisher are going to come back and Fish. How much time has Fish had to work out? I don't know.
Not a lot.
Not a lot,
but,
maybe.
But Fish has always been a guy that has kept himself in shape. My point is
he either will benefit from the rest or he will be way out of shape, out of practice, and out of the league pretty soon.
And useless.
So guys like him. And there's lots of guys like him out there.
Yeah, and my question in regards to the Lakers is how much time has Andrew Bynum put in? This is a guy who's had, you know, serious, you know, knee injuries in the past. He's only, what, 24, 25 years old?
Yeah, I do want to get to Bynum.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to hit
Time out. I'm Chris Webber. Time out.
T.O., baby.
T.O. Owens.
What?
Just a 20.
We're gonna take a break. We're going to play a quick commercial for you guys. I hope you enjoy it.
Thanks, guys.
And And I want to remind you to go on fansmanship.com. You can also follow my YouTube channel, ONR Main, where you can find my newest Flula video.
Flula.
Flula.
Loves the brain of a badger.
You have the brain of a badger, and I eat you.
This is fansmanship.com podcast on fansmanship.com. Stay close.
Let me guess, you're that Dungeons & Dragons champion whose parents forced into a sport of their choice. If so, then Put Me In Coach, an interactive 4D sport dance workout gaming experience by legendary dance queen Richard Simmons is the perfect thing for you.
Now kick and jump and kick and jump and catch the pass and tackle and shoot and kick and jump and catch the pass. All right, way to go, team.
The fourth dimension is
fabulous.
It will take you from pine sitter to sideline star, two-stepping sideline grooves that will even make the dance team resent you. The king of building self-confidence has joined forces with the legendary pine rider Chutkey Atkins to develop this once-in-a-lifetime program. For a limited time, you'll receive a sweat-stained glitter Simmons wig, flashing clip-on nipple piercing, and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free. This is good while supplies last. To order, log on to www.putmeincoach@richardsimmonsfabulous4dimensions.com.
If it worked for Tim Tebow, it'll work for you too.
Hi, my name's Chucky Atkins, and I approve this message.
Welcome back to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Luke Johnson, Andy Stevens.
What's up? What's up?
We're back.
I'm Owen Main. What's going on, everybody? Hey, we have a breaking news story here.
Hot topic.
It's kind of a hot topic, although it's not it's fun to hear about. Yeah, absolutely. Andy?
Yeah, for all you Laker fans, Cedric Ceballos had a series of small heart attacks yesterday, in fact, and the story was just ran today, but all indications are that he's going to survive just fine, and he was in the hospital early at the early signs of them and didn't end up making it worse, so get well soon, Sid.
Yes, Sid.
We had a Sid Ceballos topic or trivia question for Andy a couple weeks ago about how many offensive rebounds Sid had got during the course of his Laker career, and I think there was one season, must have been like 96-97 or 97-98,
yeah.
And when Sed had like six offensive rebounds a game, or
yeah,
five.
I mean, I had a Sed Ceballos jersey in that era, like 96-99,
big number 23.
I mean, he had about a 3-year span there where he was one of the top swingmen in basketball. It's crazy just to say that. I mean,
no,
he
was the man for
he
LA
was the man
back
for
when
LA.
They were, you know, kind
it was
of that
him,
five seed,
it was
six
him,
seed
Nick
type
Van
of
Exel,
team.
And Eddie Jones.
So Dale three.
No, it was.
So Dale was on that team.
It was after that. It was him, Nick Van Exel, and Eddie Jones who were kind of like the go-to guys.
With Vlade.
And Eldon.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? As funny as it sounds, they weren't that bad.
No, they were good.
George Lynch.
They were like number three seed always. They'd be down to like Utah or Phoenix during that time.
They took David Robinson and the Spurs to the game five in the first round, I think in 96.
With Del Harris as their coach?
Yes, exactly.
And yep. Dell couldn't handle Shaq when Shaq came.
And Van Exel hit that 1-footed 3-point shot to send him to game five. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Look at that. That's some trivia. So speaking of the Lakers, Luke, here's a question, and maybe you want to ask the question, but the question is surrounding Andrew Bynum. After the lockout, and especially since the lockouts happened, listen, we know Kobe Bryant is going to come back strong, but dude is getting older. We've seen him lose a step over the past couple of years. And when the Lakers drafted Andrew Bynum, I think the prevailing wisdom was that this is the guy who's going to take the mantle from Kobe after Kobe's gone. Now, you know, there were some other guys that have come through who've been really talented, but nobody who had the kind of promise and expectation that Bynum had. Tell me about this year, Luke and Andy, for Bynum.
Yeah, this is a confusing time for the Laker franchise. I mean, you have Kobe Bryant, who's 34, 35 years old, obviously getting close to that time when he's on his way out. He's not the...
How many years would you give Kobe? Three, four?
Two. He's not that guy who can just straight up dominate a game anymore. He's a guy who can take over a fourth quarter on occasion, probably in the playoffs,
right,
can save himself and take over a fourth quarter. But he's not the guy who throughout the entirety of the regular season is going to get you in place.
Or even a playoff series. I mean, we saw it against the Celtics even 2 years ago.
So unfortunately for the Laker fans, they have seen Andrew Bynum, who has glass knees. This is the guy who was supposed to be the guy who took the mantle from Kobe Bryant and continued that Laker legacy. He's not the player, in my opinion, that Pau Gasol is. Pau Gasol, though, unfortunately for Laker fans, has also been a bust come playoff time, in essence. So who do you have? You have, what, Shannon Brown? Come on.
Shannon Brown's not on the team anymore, yeah.
Oh, he's not?
No.
No.
Oh, he's a free agent.
Yeah. That's right. They let him go. So really, what you have is Lamar Odom. You have Steve Blake still.
Who's the best player on the team? Lamar Odom is the best player on the team. But as we all
overall
know,
player, this
is,
overall
as Owen said in a past fansmanship article, he is the dude, the ultimate dude. This is a guy who can't necessarily get fired up for a game and make it happen. Andy, what do you think about that? I mean,
the dude just wanted his run back.
Andrew Bynum was supposed to be
my question is, and when I hear you guys talk about Bynum, I'm kind of set back a little bit because I never really thought of him as, the next, heir to the Laker dynasty. I mean, I never really thought of Bynum that way. He was 17 years old. He was a big body. You know, expectations can be so many things, but do you honestly think that a guy can come over and just take over and become that part of the team, that integral part at the top of the food chain of the team and be that Kobe? I mean, I always saw Bynum as kind of a compliment to Kobe, but never would be. I mean, Kobe's a totally different player. You know, you can throw it inside to Bynum, but he's not going to – I never saw him as that guy that was going to be like a Shaq. I never thought of him as that.
Yeah, let me say this. The most fun I've had watching the Lakers over the last couple of years – have been times when either with or without Gasol, Bynum has averaged like 29 and 12, and he's gone like 10 game streaks. Like right before he gets hurt, always he'll go on like a 10 or 15 game streak where he's averaging.
It's never been 29. It's always been 22, 21, and
over like a 10 or 15 game streak though. He has got 29, like 25, 25.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Just the idea is that he's had these dominant streaks where he's shown
22
that he can
and 12
over a course of a couple of weeks. Be this dominant guy,
right,
and then all of a sudden something always changes with the chemistry, whether it's Gasol coming back off injury, whether it's Bynum getting injured, and they never get that back by the end of the year.
Do you want to know what that is?
They never get that back by the end of the year.
No, it's that Andrew Bynum is not a strong enough personality.
There you go.
No.
That's what that is.
And who is a strong personality on the Lakers? Kobe for sure. Who else?
Fisher, in my opinion.
And that's it.
Sure.
About
you have basically three duds as far as personality is concerned. I mean, Gasol,
between Odom, Gasol, and Bynum.
And Bynum.
Yeah, 6'10" and above duds. Yeah,
you have
sure.
three incredibly talented players.
Oh my gosh.
Who are all duds? Who are the Mr. Magoo and the rest of his gang? I mean, these are guys who, I mean, like I said, Lamar Odom should be taking the mantle from Kobe Bryant. That is reality.
Lamar's 32
over that,
now, too.
We're done. We're over that. Lamar Odom will not be that player. We're done.
He's
personality. He's not that personality.
So depending on how this year goes, and I know a few years ago we've, I didn't think the Lakers would do as well. Their first championship that they won, Kobe came out, and they just came out and played so well together, even before they got Pau. And then they got Pau, and it was even more awesome for those of us who are Laker fans. I think this season is going to be another one of those kind of pivotal years. Bynum's either going to put up or not. Powell's either going to make that next step as far as personality, or he's not. And Kobe's going to have to figure out how to gracefully age or not. And
see, he's not, though. That's not the,
and the idea.
That's not the way Kobe operates.
But Kobe's made, Kobe's made that way.
But no matter what happens this year, the future of the Lakers, I think we can all agree, is going to really depend on all those things and how they affect Dwight Howard and whether or not he wants to come to the team.
Yeah, I can agree with that at some point, but I think it's hard for LA to transition to the next guy because Kobe is so much of that dominant personality that you know they
top five Laker.
They
of all
need
time.
Those guys that personality? Fit around him.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, come on, Owen.
They need those guys that will defer to him that have talent but don't have those dominant personalities, and that's what they've gone and tried to get. That's why Powell has been such a good fit.
Correct.
But now, how do you transition into the next guy? That's where they're gonna hurt.
And to be fair to Pau Gasol and these guys like Andrew Bynum, I mean, what a mantle to have to carry. Kobe
Bryant. It's not fair,
No, it's not fair. I mean, Kobe Bryant is no matter who you are, one of the greats of all time. It doesn't matter where you rank him. We don't care about rankings here at Fansmanship. The guy's one of the greats of all time. He's one of the greatest Lakers of all time.
I'd put him top 10.
Him and Jerry West and Magic are in the top five Lakers of all time with Kareem. You know,
we've had conversations about rankings, though. We could spend a couple hours on rankings.
Let's not. So my point
being
that Kobe's a five-time champion. He's a 27,000-plus point scorer. He's one of the greats of all time.
No doubt. No.
Pau Gasol out of Spain. You have Andrew Bynum out of high school, right? Yeah.
You moron. You idiot.
You blew it.
Yeah, guys. So we had some technical difficulties here. Blame it on our tech guy here at Fansmanship, but we're back.
Yeah, that guy's fired.
He wanted to rank top 100 NBA. Take a little time out.
So that is our excuse. We wanted to go from 1 to 100 and debate it.
Been 2 hours.
Number 100 is Hersey Hawkins.
Ron Harper.
Who was the greatest 12th man of all time. Anyways, as I was saying about Kobe
Starter
Bryant,
on the Lakers
how fair is it to have this mantle? I don't know. The reality, though, is that these guys are there. They're surrounded around Kobe Bryant. These guys are expected to, at some point, take some mantle. But guys, I want to go away from the Lakers here, and I want to talk about the Clippers for a second. This is a team that's exciting.
Clip show.
They're like the ignored team of Los Angeles.
The fighting Donald Sterling.
Get out of here.
You know, they're like the A's of the Bay Area as far as the
catch
the ball.
But worse than that.
There you go.
That's giving them a little too much credit.
They are. You're right, and you are correct, Andy. But you know, they have, as we all know, one of the great power forwards today in the NBA, an exciting young player. Griffin.
Hot the Cycloptic. Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin. And then...
That Blake Griffin Kia... Is it Kia commercial? It's pretty incredible. I'd get a kick out of it.
It is incredible how they just put that one eye on him. He's just got one eye in the middle of his head. How did they do that?
You know, they have a young core of young players. I mean, they have...
Yeah, the Clippers are fun, man.
They have Kamen, who's actually bought into that system as far as being
Gordon
kind of a role guy. They have Gordon hitting the threes. They have the young Bledsoe running that point guard position
not Drew Bledsoe,
from
Eric
Cleveland.
Bledsoe.
Yeah,
from
Eric
Cleveland.
Bledsoe.
Mo Williams. You know, the Clippers
Mo,
to me,
dope.
The Clippers to me, over the last 10 or 12 years, they've always been like one piece of good luck away from being kind of contenders. They've made the playoffs, and then they're like, okay, they just need that to make that next step. And then Sean Livingston's knee explodes. And you know, other things happen. Something bad happens.
Like they have the bad juju.
They have one
good piece of luck. I guess is how
the
I put it.
The 06 team that had Sam Cassell, Corey Maggette, and Elton Brand.
Right.
But they were one player away from.
Was that the team that made it to the second round of the playoffs?
Yeah.
They're a Trevor Ariza
and
trade
lost,
away
lost
from being
seven.
Really good.
They are. Yeah. But I mean, you know,
and the chemistry just doesn't ever seem quite right with Chris Kamen and, you know, and some of the players they have. They always just seem to be a little bit off. Listen, they play well on the court a lot of the time, but you don't get the sense ever with the Clippers that they're tight off the court, at least not the majority of the team. And to me, that over a period of time.
Well, I think what has held them back the past few years is the fact that Baron Davis's contract was excessive.
Yes, absolutely.
He was divisive. He was anti-team.
That's what I mean. I mean, him and Kamen's not exactly, you know,
Kamen's bought into that system.
He's bought in, but that doesn't mean that
the Fraggle Rock has bought into that system. I mean,
he's 18 and 10.
There you go. You know, Andy put it. Look, when you're 18 and 10, you're one of a kind. I mean, in today's NBA, you have a few great big men, and then you have a bunch of average big men.
DeAndre Jordan steps in. I mean, you know, he can block some shots.
And there's another guy.
Kamen's one of the few upper middle class.
came in as the upper middle class.
There's the 99%, yes. And then there's the 1%.
Came in as the 15 or 16 and 10. He's in the Andrew Bonham category.
He's like the 85%.
He is. I mean, him.
Excuse me, the 15%.
Him and Andrew Bonham are in that same category, right. A big man.
The next level, yeah. After Howard.
Absolutely.
I think Kamen has...
Who else is in the upper level?
You have Dwight Howard.
Everybody else?
Now that Yao's gone... You know,
yeah, that is tough. There aren't a lot of big men.
Garnett's too old now.
Hold on, let's go ahead and just think about this for a second, guys. We're going to actually muse here on fansmanship in front of you.
Tim Duncan's still up there.
I think he's around the Bynum area now, though, as far as his current.
Yeah,
skills.
He is, because you know he is declining. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you could probably
Dirk as a big man.
No.
You could put Kamen top five center.
But can I say that I think Dirk, in my opinion, is one of the top 10 players of all time because of what he does in the court.
Who would you rather have than Kamen? You'd have Tyson Chandler over Kamen or not?
No.
Really?
No.
I think I might.
No.
He's not offensively talented enough.
Because Chandler struggles with the same Chandler does not have a jump shot that Bynum does.
For all the things that Kamen
isn't. Shot or free throw.
For all the things that Kamen isn't in the locker room, Chandler is, though. And I think for the Mavs, that made a big difference last year. Ask Mark Cuban. So who else? Bynum? Would you put Bynum ahead of Kamen?
Yes.
Right, even with him?
No, I put Kamen ahead of Bynum.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Bynum is highly overrated.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not a Laker fan, so I can say that without feeling, fearful of saying that. But Bynum is incredibly overrated, and I agree with Andy. I mean,
he just happens to be a 7-footer that was drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers.
And I agree with you.
That's it.
And so in a sense, it's sad for this kid. But it's not. I mean, he was given this opportunity with the Lakers, which is great.
What about Brook Lopez? I'm probably leaving him
Brooke,
out.
He's in that range. I mean, Brook is better than Bynum.
You think?
Brook could be the best Eastern Conference center besides Howard.
He's on the Nets. I was picturing Robin.
What about Noah?
Noah's great. Noah's a great defensive player.
Noah and Anderson Varejão are equal to me.
No, he's not. No.
No way.
No. Joakim
Noah.
Varejão's
not
in
the same stratosphere.
Can I say, guys, that I hated Joakim Noah in college? This is a guy who plays with tremendous fire.
Al Horford.
There you go. Best.
And that's pretty much the upper tier.
That's
right
it.
There.
That's
and then
it.
Then you start getting into the Caymans and the Bynums, and you want to put Tim Duncan down there. I would put Tim Duncan at.
Yes.
I would put Tim Duncan. Past Al Horford still right now.
Mehmet Okur.
Just the experience factor.
Guys, Mehmet can knock down the three ball.
But he can't stay healthy, guys.
I had him on my fantasy team a lot.
So that makes him good?
Absolutely. Houston.
Andres Biedrens.
I was going to say that, Andres Biedrens too. So what does this really say? It says that this is a guard-oriented
It is. Right? Derek Rose says that.
The culture has changed.
How excited are we that the NBA is coming back? I mean... Thank goodness. I really enjoy college basketball, guys, but to not have that like Tuesday night game to sit on a Tuesday night and like look for some entertainment and have to watch like a Morgan State versus somebody in basketball or what was on this afternoon, Luke, Indiana State against
– It was Indiana State and Fairfield.
Not a great matchup.
Fairfield, California?
No.
You got a hell of a program out there.
I think it was Fairfield, Indiana. Owen, us three grew up on some of the greats in NBA history. We grew up on Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, and there goes the sound dropping the beat.
Keep talking. Finish the point.
But I wanted to say that I feel like my expectation of these NBA players is that they're going to come out with some fire. This is a season that was almost gone. This is a season from their career that was almost taken away. I want to see them play with that same heart that the college players play with.
We'll see.
We'd all like to see that.
Yep.
Listen, go to fansmanship.com to read everything. We've had a lot more posts up there lately. We'll be right back. Fansmanship.com podcast. Nowhere else but fansmanship.com. Also iTunes. Quite a break, gentlemen. We are back.
Refreshing.
Fansmanship.com podcast. Owen Main, Andy Stevens, Luke Johnson. What's going on?
What's up, man?
So, happy Sunday, guys. I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving.
I did.
I know,
man.
I enjoyed my Thanksgiving. Spent it in a few different places.
I was just talking about it. Mine was intense.
I was knocked out on the trip to fame, man.
trip to fan. Yeah, you know, we kind of have a Thanksgiving tradition in my family to cook. My dad doesn't really like turkey, So he always barbecues like a prime rib. This year it was a New York strip. It was about 2 feet long on the barbecue.
When you said New York strip.
We've done
a prime rib
before, yeah.
Yeah, it was
New York strip.
It's always a big old piece of beef and then like a little turkey on the
never
side.
Never a ham? Never
ham
a duck?
Too. So this year we had all three, and all three were incredible.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
How were you feeling after that meal?
I curled up on the floor, literally. We were up in the mountains at my uncle's house, and I curled up on the floor, and they built a fire. I curled up on the floor next to the fire in the fetal position for quite a few minutes.
They built a fire around you. Like, there was no way this guy's making it.
And Mrs. Maine was like, this is how you were back in the day, my sweetie.
Kelly!
Shout out. So, today's Sunday, and...
Sunday.
Tim Tebow is now...
Sunday.
It's the Lord's Day.
Fairgrounds.
Speaking of the Lord's Day, Tim Tebow is now 5-1.
The Lord and Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow is now 5-1, I think, as a starter. Is that right, guys?
Yeah.
5-1. He beat the Chargers today 16-13 in overtime. The Chargers had, what, 10 or 13 points in the first quarter?
They were up 13-0 halfway through the first quarter. And over
13-0, and the Broncos defense said, oh, no more. No more for you.
Over the next 3.5 quarters plus overtime, they didn't allow them to score. And they ended up coming all the way back, tying it at 13, going to overtime, and winning on a Matt Prater field goal.
Here's my question. Just like they have in many of the last few weeks. 5-1. Yeah. Just like they have in many of the last few weeks, Tim Tebow scored less than 20 points.
5-1.
In the regular part of the game plus overtime, in regulation plus overtime. And my question is this a legitimate? I guess it doesn't matter if it's a legitimate way to win games. You're winning games, right?
You're 5-1.
God, he looks so bad, though.
You know what? It's like being Michael Jackson and being told that you have too many number one hits.
No, it's not like being Michael Jackson.
You're 5-1, and here we are here, and somebody is complaining.
I'm saying more like MC Hammer. I'm sorry.
I'm not complaining.
He has a couple hits, and another hit. And then,
you guys, come on. Let's not go too far with that comparison. I'm just saying that he's 5-1, and here we are talking about the guy like there might be an issue.
Oh, there's an issue.
He's 5-1, Owen.
Doesn't mean there's not an issue. He's winning games right now, which is awesome.
This goes back to the argument that we had last podcast. Yes, he can win now. He can win in the regular season, but when it comes down to it,
he's going to set the Broncos back.
So we'll see.
When he's playing
the Patriots, when he's playing the Steelers, when he's playing the Ravens, and he has to make that third nine throw, is he going to be able to do it?
I just watched part of the first quarter today, and there was a 3rd and 4, and the dude did a quick the wide receiver on the right side of the field ran a quick hitch right at the first down marker and was open, and Tebow threw it into the ground, and so Luke, he won.
Nerves.
He scored 16 points in 5 periods. He won still. You're right, but at some point, we'll see. Listen, if I guess I would ask the question this way. Can Tim Tebow ever win a Super Bowl, Luke, do you think?
Yes. Because if Joe Namath can, Tim Tebow can. That's super controversial. Look at Joe Namath's career numbers. If Joe Namath can, Tim Tebow can.
Joe Namath was the opposite of Tim Tebow in so many
ways. Joe Namath, look at
the
man's numbers.
But as far as his
not great.
Him being polarizing,
look at Joe Namath's
the level
numbers.
Of polarization.
No. Owen wants to say Joe Namath is much different. Fine. Look at the man's numbers. If the man can win Super Bowls, Tim Tebow can win Super Bowls. That's all I'm saying.
How's he going to don't just say it. Let us know. How is he going to do that?
Are they going to win Super Bowls running the current offense that they're running, scoring 16 points a game?
Well, I think it's funny that,
here's
what's totally unfair to Tim Tebow. Why are we already talking about Super Bowls?
Because
it's his second year in the
NFL franchise.
Because
that's what every
franchise
aspires to become.
But you know what? Rams say that Bradford.
But listen,
in the end,
any of us who love the sport to such a high level are 98% wrong. If you look at it in the history of it, we are wrong. We thought Crouch could be good. We were wrong. That was a bad comparison. We thought Tim Couch could be good.
I think you're thinking about that. Crouch was the Nebraska quarterback.
Yes, he was.
Ryan Leaf was going to be reasonable, but
So Tim Couch was the guy who was going to bring. Tim Couch was the guy who was going to bring the Brownies back to that heralded, championship level.
Tim Couch went to school
in the 1950s,
Kentucky.
Kentucky, that's right. Yeah.
So, SEC. is it fair that we're like already sitting here, we're going, hey, dude, you're 5-1. Will you win a Super Bowl? I don't know. I mean, let the guy win games and then win a Super Bowl. I mean, why are we sitting here?
Here's what I want to talk about. I think the conversation can be framed in a much more positive way, and it's in this way. How good is the Denver Broncos defense? Holy crap.
Not that good. They give up 40-something points to the one game that
they lost
at Tim Tebow.
But in all the other games, they've held the teams under 20 points.
How many points have they averaged giving up in all of Tim Tebow's victories? Ask yourself that question. Probably about 12. No, more like 12.
Yeah, like 12, dude. Like they're the Ravens, basically. Okay, they're really, really playing at a high level, and I just want to give them props for that. Because honestly, scoring 16 points a game, if you tell me that you're the Browns quarterback and you're scoring 16 points a game, that's probably not good enough.
12? Are you sure about that? 12.
Andy, look it up.
I'm out.
12 points is a little bit solid there. 12.
I'm talking about average.
12
points
per game.
I would be willing to bet that if you're looking at the Browns, the Bengals, they've all scored more than 12 points a game. They've scored their 16 points. If you look at the average of them, they have to be averaging.
How could that be, though, Luke? Every game Denver's won, they have scored in the teens.
Maybe the Miami game was like in the 30s.
How is that even numerically, mathematically
possible? The point is that, you know what?
Their defense is so good.
Oh, my God. Okay. You know what, Tim?
Let's take a look here.
Tim, if you're out there,
Tim Tebow's
victories. I
want
to say this to you.
All right, here we go.
I'm sorry.
At Miami,
people hate you.
Win 18-15.
I don't hate you, Tim.
At Oakland, win 38-24. At Kansas City, win 17-10.
No, go back. What was the score to the Oakland game?
Okay, 15. This is what their D has given up. 15, 24, 10, 13, 13.
49, 52, 65. Divided by 5. Okay, they're averaging about 14 points per game. That's pretty solid.
And the 38 that they scored against the Raiders, how many of those were on run backs? I think they had at least 2 touchdowns off of interception returns. Right?
Yeah,
so the defense is scoring.
You're searching for something wrong with this guy.
No, I'm not. Listen, there's a lot wrong with Tim Tebow. That doesn't mean he's not a winner. He's winning. He is who we thought. You know, he's Dennis Green. They are who we thought they would be. He is who we thought they would be. I think the brilliance of the Broncos right now is the fact that they're winning with him. They're winning with their defense, and props to them for doing so. Maybe it's because he's such a great leader. Maybe they all believe in him so much that they're playing better.
Is Tim Tebow the LeBron James?
No. Tim Tebow is like the Bo Outlaw of the NFL. No, not the Bo Outlaw.
Come on, give more props.
Okay,
to that.
He's a specialty player.
He's the Nick Anderson.
He's a specialty player.
He's the Nick Anderson.
He's a specialty.
Knocked out an
Nick
occasional
Anderson,
three.
Because Tebow's like a rah-rah guy. So he's like Sean Elliott.
I love Sean Elliott.
He's the Sean Elliott.
Thank you. Sean Elliott.
Who's
a great comparison.
Right. Sean Elliott was a really good player.
Knocked down threes from outside, falling out of bounds.
You know what, though? Sean Elliott won at the pro level, won a championship. So let's say for now, I think Tebow could be like the...
The Greg Oden.
The Ode. Not even the Zach. Yeah, I don't know if there's a basketball comparison. Listen,
there isn't.
Tebow's
Mateen Cleaves.
Tebow's a very unique player.
Khalid El-Amin.
Khalid El-Amin. Yes.
I always got to mix in the Khalid El-Amin reference. Once
Casey Jacobson.
Oh, dude, there was a okay. Yeah,
dude, that guy could shoot the lights out. By the way,
there was a high school game that we played one time, and the best player on the opposing team looked just like Casey Jacobson. I tried to describe it to somebody, and nobody knew who Casey Jacobson was.
What?
Yeah. Out of Minnesota?
One of the best set shooters in the last,
eight
or 10 years. Out of Stanford. Come on.
Yeah, Casey Jacobson.
Out of Stanford.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking of Sam Jacobson.
With the Lopez twins.
Sorry, I'm thinking of Sam Jacobson.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of Sam Perkins.
Sam Perkins.
Hell of a left-handed set shot.
Oh, you're thinking of, yes, you are thinking, I know who you're thinking of, Sam Jacobson. He
out
was
of Minnesota.
Good too.
Big sideburns,
yeah.
Dark hair.
Yep, he was good too. Yep.
Made it in the NBA for a couple years.
Yep.
Oy, oy. Well, here we are. Guys, transitioning from Tim Tebow, who I think we're going to agree to disagree and see where this year takes us. Listen, the Broncos might win the AFC West.
I think we
AFC
agree,
West.
Though. I think I've never said that I think that like I'm a huge Tim Tebow fan. I've said that the guy wins games.
He does.
Until he doesn't win games, why are we sitting here and bagging on the man?
But is it him? Is he the reason why they're winning games?
the guy wins games.
The Denver Broncos win games.
Here's my question. If Jay Cutler was the Broncos quarterback.
It's not all Tebow. Their defense is playing phenomenally. They gave up 13 points to the Chargers.
They
gave up zero over the next
three and a half quarters
and overtime.
Listen, we all know the quarterback position in the NFL is like the president of the United States of America. The guy gets all the props or all the negativos. he is the guy winning games until said otherwise. The guy wins games until said otherwise. So, yes, unfortunately, they have this great defense, blah, blah, blah.
Unfortunately, it's great.
No, 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 but I'm saying the point being that they have this great defense.
They shouldn't be in any other better position.
That should get all, you know, should get all this, all these props. And they have Tim Tebow, who is at the helm of the victory. He's getting, you know, getting all the praise. The reality is that that's the way the NFL is built. Tim Tebow is 5-1 as a starting quarterback. Until said otherwise, why are we complaining?
Good for him. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Moving on.
Moving on.
We have
a head injury.
A head injury. Yeah.
CP?
Yeah. Cal Poly basketball, men's and women's, are both getting off to pretty good starts this year. We were at a few of their games earlier. We took a break for the Thanksgiving holiday. The women had a Thanksgiving tournament and actually played yesterday and today. I think their record's now 3-2 if they held on to beat Austin Peay, I believe, today. But the big story for the women has been injuries. They're missing two or three of their regular rotation players a couple weeks ago. Now, news is that Christina Santiago hit her head yesterday. She might not have even been in the gym today. I think they still won. But this is a big deal for the former Big West Player of the Year. Yeah. As somebody who's had a concussion playing basketball before, I can say that mentally, as far as like schoolwork, guys, I wasn't right for a year, year and a half.
Wow.
A year, year and a half, wow. I wasn't all the way back.
After that concussion.
After that concussion. Writing papers for class was harder.
Wow.
Little things like that. And I'm not saying that that's going to be the case for her. We know a lot more about concussions now than we used to. That being said, I really hope that she's okay. This is a big deal. Luke and I went and saw her, and she had 28 and 23.
20 and 23.
I mean, just beast mode.
You know, anybody who loves the college game appreciates a fifth-year senior. I mean, this is somebody who has not only been there for 4 years, but 5 years.
And a local girl.
A local Santa Maria High. Was she?
From Santa Maria. I'm not sure if she's from Santa Maria High.
I thought she was from Santa Maria High, but I could be wrong.
St. Joe's, possibly.
But you know, this is a fifth-year senior. This is somebody who was, as a junior, Big West Player of the Year, was out all last year with an injury, and then now has this head injury. So, you know, our thoughts go out to her.
To Coach Faith and her team.
And Coach Faith.
On the other end of things, and they're still getting it done. Let's say that about the women's team. They're still getting it done, and if they can get right and healthy by the time conference comes around, they're going to be in real good shape. To contend, if not be the favorite for the conference. On the men's side of things, you know, Coach Claro's team seems like they just kind of keep getting better. Every game is kind of a new deal for them. Yesterday they won their last game of their tournament. They were up by one, and somebody else missed two free throws on the other team. I think Morgan State.
Mississippi Valley State.
Yeah, home of Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice.
Yeah, the Mississippi Valley
State.
They
ended up winning 72-55.
That was yesterday? So it was 2 days ago then that they were up by one against Morgan State.
And they beat them 62-61.
In Vegas, and dude missed two free throws. And we always say free throws win ball games. Poly shot 90% from the free throw line that game. So certainly, you know, they deserved to win. Anytime you play hard and you shoot 90% from the foul line, you know, that's going to be an advantage on your side. We got a doubleheader coming up on Wednesday.
Men hosting Sacramento State and women hosting, is it San Jose State?
That's the game right there.
Is it San Jose?
I'm not sure. I got the men's page up right now.
Yeah. Can I say
they played San Jose, I think, today.
I say that there's such thing as a bad loss?
There is such thing?
Yes, there is such thing as a bad loss in college basketball.
Yep.
Unlike college football, where you only have 11 or 12 games where a loss could mean your hopes at a title contention.
That would be a really bad loss.
In college basketball, you have this opportunity to win seeding come March. There's such thing as a bad loss. And what I wanted to say about that, a good loss. What I wanted to say about that was that, you know, Cal Poly just got blown out. You know, Calero's team just got blown out by UNLV, in quote, by 20-plus.
The Running Rebels with former UCLA players.
And they went on, and as you guys know, yesterday beat number one North Carolina. This is UNLV I'm speaking about. Beat North Carolina 90-80, the number one team in the country yesterday.
So that 20-point loss doesn't look so bad, does
that
it?
That 20-point loss all of a sudden is not so bad.
It
Coach Calero's team
becomes
is,
a good loss.
It's a good loss.
Come seeding for. Well, it's probably not going to end up being seeding for the big tournament by any stretch, but the Big West tournament, definitely.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
And for Big West conference play, I mean, the fact that they've played teams like USC, like UNLV, they're going to be. They have a couple other tough games on the schedule before conference. And it's going to make a big difference. They also have a chance to get back at Bakersfield, who's not in their conference, but they play them kind of middle of the conference in Bakersfield. So that should be interesting.
And the women ended up beating San Jose State today, 71-55, in their upcoming game on Wednesday. They are hosting Pepperdine.
Oh. Pepperdine, the Waves.
Pepperdine, nice.
So we got Pepperdine for the women. I think that starts at 4 or 4:30 at Mott Gym for the men.
4:30
And fansmanship.com will be there. We will be there.
In full effect.
In full
absolutely.
Effect.
Yep. Absolutely. Gentlemen.
Yes.
We're having some fun. Hope you guys like the commercial. We didn't really talk about it a lot.
We hope you do. Hey.
And seriously,
hey,
check out.
Hey, fansmanship.com is covering some of the serious products across this country. You know, we are concerned with people, and we want you to know that we are covering, you know, these products that
we have hearts,
and the products will continue to come. Listen, you should follow us at Fansmanship on Twitter, at Luke's Rant, at what's yours, Andy?
Andy Rue 42.
Andy A N D Y R E W 42, and I'm at Owen Main or at Fansmanship. Check out fansmanship.com. You can find our podcast on iTunes. Maybe that's how you found it already, and let us know what you think. Also on YouTube today, we posted a video of one of our best friends, Flula. I wouldn't call him best friend since we don't know him, but I would call him a...
I'm not your friend.
We are fans, and
he's... I eat you.
He's not fans of the Beavers, that's for sure.
The Badgers,
sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, Oregon State.
Wisconsin.
You have the brain
he's not
of
a friend
Badger.
Of Wisconsin. He eats Wisconsin.
I eat you.
I eat you, Wisconsin. I
eat your brain.
I eat you, Bo Ryan. You and me.
How about Bo Ryan? You want to talk about scary faces like we did last podcast? There's a scary face. He looks like some creeper that's like, you know, hanging out in the shadows waiting to jump up on you.
Oh, slit your throat.
Listen, everybody, hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving week. I know we did. Thanks for listening. Fansmanship.com. And we'll see you next time.
Yep. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com.